Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
We're going to dive right into the Word this morning. My name is Blake Whiteman. I'm the campus pastor here at Real Life Coeur d'Alene at our campus. See a couple new faces, so I just wanted to introduce myself. If you have a chance, I'd love to talk to you after. If you're not new, I'm still Blake Whiteman. I'm still the campus pastor here at Coeur d'Alene. It's good to see you guys this morning. Hopefully you've had an interesting night, and we'll even have an interesting morning. And so last night was a celebration of our freedom. This morning gets to be a celebration of a different type of freedom and goodness that we get from the truth of the gospel. What we believe is true about our lives from the Word, the Bible. And we always like to come together this morning here at the campus at Real Life and talk about practical application, what that means for our real lives, not theory, but actual real life. That's why we're called Real Life, Real Life Ministries. What does this mean for you and me, right? When I'm at home, when I'm at work, when I'm in our community, when I see the stuff that comes across the screen on my TV, smartphone, whatever that would mean, who am I? What do I believe? What's true about this life thing that we get to do all the time? So that's who we are. We believe that we exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. We believe that God's word, the Bible, clearly tells us how to do that. And we're going to do that by making biblical disciples, followers of Jesus, believers in God. And we're going to do that in relationship because that's what Jesus showed us. That's what God talks about. That relationship word can be tough, can be hard, but it can be great. Can be fulfilling, life-giving. I think that you've probably experienced both of those things. And the reason why we want to make disciples is because Jesus calls us to. It's why you and I were made. It's why we were designed, is to live a full life that God created us to be and have. And so we're going to make disciples, and we're going to choose to, because you get a choice, choose to follow God and what is true. We want to help people grow into what they are intended to be, Christ-like, made in the image of God here, and then also to spend eternity with God. So that's who we are. We're in a series right now that points towards that truth. It's called Cultivate. And Cultivate right now, if you have a garden, can show fruit, right, or vegetables, same idea. Cultivation is the work that we do in preparation to produce something, right? Your garden, you have tilled it potentially, maybe put some fertilizer in there. Some of you guys might be throwing dead fish or whatever. But you're doing work to prepare for a result, correct? Like you would expect work that you do in your garden as you plant, as you water, as it's sunny out, that something would happen because of that, right? Would anybody plant a garden or flowers and assume that it would not grow and that it would die and then you'd be okay with that? Anybody? No. Good. If you did, I think you have a problem. We'll talk about that after service. Give me something to do all week. You would have expectation that there would be growth, right? Sometimes significant growth, sometimes small growth. Question for you out there, gardeners, flower people. Do your plants grow continuously 100% of the time all year long? Yes or no? No. Okay. I think that God's analogies are helpful for us. So give yourself a break when you look at your life if you're not growing continuously 100% of the time all seasons. But just as an outward growth is not fully expected all the time, an inward growth can be happening, we might just not see it yet. Amen? Okay, so we're talking about cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, which is God working in us, God the Holy Spirit working in us, God working through us, but it's something that can be seen. So cultivating the fruits of the Spirit, we talked about love, joy, peace, patience. Last week we talked about kindness, not niceness, right, for those of you who are here. Not nice. Could be. This week, we're talking about goodness. Christian gave the message on Thursday. I'm bringing the message this morning, so your notes might not be very accurate. Sorry. I think you'll be okay. If you're a note person, like, oh, you could crumple it up and throw it on the ground if you wanted, or you could try to make it work, however that works for you. But here's what will be the same, guaranteed, is that we do everything we can to speak God's word truthfully, reality-wise, and let God speak to us this morning. I hope you're in for that. And so I'm going to pray as we get started. I'm going to pray a verse out of Isaiah 55, and then we're going to talk about goodness this morning. So pray with me. Father God, here we are. God, we want to entertain your word this morning. Father, this morning, I don't know where each individual in this room is, God, spiritually, Father, emotionally. God, there's a good chance that we're tired from a long day or a long weekend, potentially a long night last night, Father, but God, we're here in your presence, and Father, where we gather, you promise to be. Holy Spirit, I call upon you this morning, God, to do a good work in us. Father, that we'd be willing to listen. God, that we'd be willing to meet you as we are. God, not with a face. God, not with projection that's not true. Father, but with honesty. God, that we'd be willing to listen to you, God, and your word. God, I pray that I would speak and preach accurately of it. And so, God, as I read your word this morning, Isaiah 55:3 says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, you will find life. I will make it an everlasting covenant with you. I'll give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. So, Father, let that promise be true. God, meet us here in this place, and God, do a work in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, here we go. So we're talking about goodness. So question right out of the gate this morning. And again, just before we dive in, the notes on the screen are gonna be challenging as well because I'm probably not gonna follow them. So give our volunteer in the back a break right now, okay? So you're probably gonna have to look here. But you can do what you want. So we're talking about goodness. So I'd ask you right away, what's good? Right, what's good? Who determines what good is? It's an important question. Lots of people decide good is what they think it is. What does the world tell you good is? Whatever you think is good, right? How about follow your heart? How about good is whatever feels good? How about good is what's good for me and good for you is what's good for you? Heard that before? So how do we know what good is? Well, something we'll have to look at, right? And oftentimes, if you've heard me speak before, I like to look at some of the definitions of what the world would say, right, from the dictionary or what media would say, and then we're always going to compare and contrast that with what God's word says. Sometimes they're the same. Sometimes they're completely different, right? And it's up to us to decide for you personally what you think is true or not. So we're going to be thinking about what good is, and as we dive into that, I want you to be thinking about something this morning. Number one, what is good? Right, but the word that we're talking from has been Galatians, that the Holy Spirit in us produces goodness. So good and goodness are similar, but they're not the same. Goodness comes from what we believe good is, right? The portrayal of goodness comes from understanding what good is. We're gonna talk about what good is first, and then we're gonna talk about what goodness looks like for us. So here's a couple definitions of what good is. We're gonna start with the opposite, just because we can. We can always start at the end. And if you're an adult out there, you can do what you want. I like to say that. You're an adult, you can make decisions. Kids, you can make decisions too. Just run it by your parents first. We're gonna start with the opposite. What is the opposite of good? If I was to say the opposite of good would be what you would say? Bad. Great. Excellent. You have to answer it again. Can't use that same answer. Okay, the opposite of good is you have been reading my notes, all right? Even though you don't have them. I don't know how you did it, but you did. Right? The opposite of good would be bad. Opposite of good would be evil. That's the easy answer, right? So let's define what those are. First of all, bad would be what would be considered undesirable or disapproved of. It's bad. It's inadequate. It's bad. It is not possessing moral virtue, not adhering to or fulfilling all of the principles of a religion or a group. And little disclaimer, if you're a religious person this morning, you're going to get offended. I'm sorry. Okay, so bad is that you didn't keep all the rules. You didn't make it. That's bad. Bad is giving displeasure, unenjoyable, or dissatisfying. Bad is the opposite of God and his character. That's not a biblical definition. That's a definition out of dictionary. Literally says that good is synonymous with God. Isn't that crazy? Literally, in a secular definition, the world says that goodness is associated with God and his character. And they're right. So bad is the opposite of that. It's the opposite of good, which is the opposite of God. That's an easy little saying. You can write that one down or tweet it if you want to. Right? The opposite of good is the opposite of God. So evil, because you had two good answers, right? Bad, evil. The opposite of evil, evil is a detriment or disadvantage to somebody or something, right? Intentionally, disadvantage, in opposition to. Evil is that which is morally wrong, sinful, or the opposite of God. Those make sense, right? Evil and bad. So let's talk about the good part, right? Bad out of the way, evil out of the way. Let's talk about the good part. Here's what good is. As an adjective, it's a description. It's to be desired or approved of. That's good. It's adequate for a purpose. It's possessing or displaying that moral virtue, adhering to or fulfilling the principles of a religion or a cause. It's that checking the box, getting it all right. We're going to come back to that. It's giving pleasure, enjoyable, it's satisfying. It's used in conjunction with the name and the character of God. Good is the character and person of God. And as a noun, meaning a person, place, thing, or a concept, it's benefit or advantageous for someone or someone else, and is morally right, also known as righteous. You heard the word righteous before? Yes. So it's kind of a two-part meaning of good. One, good is talking about the concept and character of God. And God is righteous. He's good. He's perfect. He's pleasing. He's just. That's what good is. And as we talk about this, I believe this is true about God and his word, is that God is not intentionally confusing. So when you talk about good this morning, do everything you can to go, gosh, it's really hard to understand what good is. Good is good. You know the feeling of good. It's pleasing. It's righteous. It's just. It's good. That's who God is. It's his character, and it's what he says good is. So goodness is the embodiment of those things. Goodness is not just a mere passive quality, but it's the deliberate preference of right over wrong. And it's the firm and persistent resistance of evil and the choosing and following of all moral good. And there's two important pieces to pull out of that definition. So goodness is the embodiment of what is good. And it says that it's a decision to lean towards what is right over what is wrong. See that in the definition? So you have to ask yourself the question, is there a right and a wrong? What would you say? Yes. What would the culture in our world say? No. Maybe. Depends. Right? This is where it starts to get confusing. Well, depends on what's good for me is good for you. We already talked about that, right? So the definition of goodness has to pull out of there is a right and a wrong. And if there is a belief system that is no right and wrong, therefore you can't actually be good. Does that make sense? If I don't actually believe there's a right or a wrong, then who's to say I'm good or bad? Who's to say what I choose to do is good or bad? You're automatically going to push yourself into a belief system that says, well, bad means all the things we just talked about. It has a negative implication for me and for other people. Those of us that choose to believe that God's word is true, that the Bible is true, that Jesus is Lord, Savior, and Messiah, that he has something to say about our lives, about objective truth and morality, we would say there absolutely is a right and a wrong. The Bible absolutely defines what's right and wrong. In the Bible, the Word of God actually says that God in himself is good, and how he describes goodness is in accordance with what is right, not wrong. Now, you may be going, well, duh. Well, of course. Well, I've been a believer for a long time, and I already know that. Well, good for you. If not, that's a decision that has to come with who you believe you are and what you believe about your life. Some of us out there this morning might be going, yeah, I'm not really sure about this whole God thing. Not really sure about Jesus. Not really sure about this. But hopefully what I hope you're hearing me say is that God's word says he's good, and he describes what that is. So there's a right and wrong, and the second part of that definition says it's a conscious choice and decision to choose and to follow what is morally good. And that's not a biblical definition, but what does the Bible say about what is good? If God's good, we would choose to follow what is good, which would be God. So goodness is the embodiment of what we would say is good. We're going to talk about reality, about how we deal with what good is. Here's a couple thoughts I have about good. When I read the description, to be desired, to be approved, to have approval, to have value and worth, to be adequate, to be good enough, to be enjoyable, to be satisfying to somebody else. I want that. I want to be that. I think you want to be that. I think everybody desires to be good and experience goodness. Would you agree? There's a reason why that's true. Not only because it can feel good, right? Because goodness is something we can experience. But I would wager to say that God's word exactly explains why that's true. I would say that every single one of us has a desire to be good and experience good because God has created us with that intentionally. In the beginning in Genesis, God created all things according to his purpose and order and design. And at the very end of it, he describes all of it and says that it's what? It's good, right? You being part of creation, people, every single one of us, no matter where we are today, what our story has been, in creation, God has created people and has declared you good. It's in you. You're designed that way. But if you continue to read the story, what happens? What happens in that Genesis account? Even though God has declared us good and said that you're made in my image, you're the crown jewel of all creation, my masterpiece, part of his creation, he gives us what? Choice. And in that choice, people have a tendency to choose what? Sin, right? Most oftentimes ourselves is what the Bible describes to us. We choose us over God. We choose us over other people. We choose me. And God says that that's not how I intended you to be. The way I made you good in the beginning is just a little bit off now. It's not as it should be. It's not as good as I wanted it to be anymore. But here's the point I want you to get, is that that feeling inside of you that you have to experience good, to want good, to be good, is by design. And it's on purpose. And that's a good thing. The bad thing is that we've fallen short of that mark that God has created us to be. That his original intention for you and I, we're just a little bit off. We've made decisions that are not pleasing and good based on what God says. But it doesn't mean that that desire to be good and that original creation is not there. Make sense? God also says in that creation that we were made in his image, right? And God's image and character is what, based on definition of what we said? It's good. And so in creation, God declared us good, but by design, he also says that you're made in my image, which is goodness. And so not only were you made that way, but God says that in you is the design of goodness. For those of us that are believers, that believe that God's word is true, that have put a saving faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we have the Spirit of God in us. And if the image of God is good and the Spirit of God is in us, then we have the ability to be good based on what God does in us. So the want, the desire that every single person has to have value and purpose, to be adequate, to be good enough, to be pleasurable and satisfying to others and to feel that is by God's design. If that's true, why does it not always feel good? Why do you and I not always choose good? Why do other people tend to choose bad that impacts me? Why do I feel like I take the idea of good and I get all twisted up and I miss it? Why is that? Well, welcome to life. That is the story, that is the condition, is that God declared it good in the beginning and that we've fallen short and that we need help and that we need a saving from those decisions that we make. And that's the gospel message. But we're going to look at goodness. We're going to take three ways, I believe, that people try to obtain that goodness that only comes from God in the wrong way. And we're going to talk about what God's word says, how we should experience it the good way. So here's the three things. Three ways people strive to experience good and goodness are this. Number one, feel good. Number two, be good. Number three, do good. Feel good, be good, do good. Got them? Whoa, come on. Got him? Yeah, okay, good. I think you're nervous. You're a little bit nervous. Where are we going here? I don't like this. I'm a little uncomfortable. It's okay. It's okay. We're in it together, right? Somebody next to you probably feels worse, and then you're better than them, so now you're good, okay? Just kidding. We're talking about number one. And I want to say this before we jump into these. Not every single one of these is a definitive, okay? Each one of us tends to lean towards one of these, all right? I have a good friend who has done life with me. He's somebody that has discipled me. He's somebody that I'm willing to do life with and journey. We can be honest with each other, or we can do life together. And one of the struggles that my good friend has is that he wants a definitive 100% answer often. Which one is it? Tell me which one it is, right? This life that we live, this relationship that we have with God, doesn't work that way, okay? So if you're looking at this going, well, it's either 100% this or it's 100% that, or I'm not listening, you're going to struggle through this. And that's part of the definition of goodness that we're going to talk about. The second one is going to blow you up. So be warned, okay? My encouragement is be willing to let God speak to you and listen to one of these and just decide where you're at. So number one, feel good. If every single one of us has been designed and created for the desire to have goodness, to feel good, to know good, and that God is good, oftentimes someone that leans in the direction of feel good tries to obtain that purpose, that value, that sustainability, that adequacy by feeling good. I have it in me. I have this desire. I want it to be okay. I want it to be good. I want to have purpose and value. So the way that I'm going to get that is that I am going to do whatever it takes so that I feel good. Does that make sense? My barometer is that I want to feel good, which means I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. I'm going to look out for me, and I want to feel good, because when I don't feel good, it must not be good. And so my decisions are based on what can I get. My decisions are based on if it doesn't feel good, it must not be good, so I'm not going to do it. If it's hard, it's not good. If it makes me feel good, it must be good. So the desire, the primary focus of this concept is that if I don't feel good, it's not good. And if I don't feel good, then nothing's good. If this happens in my life and it doesn't feel good, then God's not good. Do you see where this goes? Again, it comes out of the want and the desire to have purpose and meaning and value and adequacy, which is a good thing that we've established. But the way in which we feel goodness is a selfish decision. It is not following what God says is good. It is not listening to how God says goodness can be obtained. It's by me saying my feelers are going to be what's going to be the rudder of my ship. I just want to feel good is the first category. Maybe that's you. Maybe when you think of goodness, there is no objectivity. There's no, what does God say good is? There's, I determine what good is, and it's based on my feelings. It's a feel-good position. Hebrews 11, he's talking about, I think it's David, he says, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. The fleeting pleasures of sin. Does sin feel good? Does sin feel good? Sometimes. That's right. According to the word, it says that it's fleeting pleasure, right? Feels good for the moment, feels pretty bad later, right? I'm gonna choose me, feel good now for disaster later. It says in this context that he chose to actually go through suffering and have it be difficult rather than to indulge in the fleeting pleasures of sin. A feel-good type of worldview, a feel-good type of theology says, I'm gonna choose that I wanna feel good now even if it's sin. It's choosing the opposite of what God says is good for what I say is good now. And you know that feeling. I know that feeling of choosing sin now, thinking it's a good idea, the temperate high, the good, whatever that is, only to be hours later, days later, years later to go, wow, that's not good. I mean, it doesn't feel good. Sin feels good for a moment, but it's only for a season. So the feeling good idea is that you chase the good, seek the pleasure, the fun, and the satisfaction. The desire to find purpose and adequacy is fulfilled by self in self-pleasure. If it doesn't feel good, it's not good. I'm not going to do it. And ultimately, it's the choice to feel good over choosing God. It's the first one. Here's the second one. Be good. Uh-oh. It's a tough one. And I don't mean to describe this one flippantly. That's not my heart. But I do mean to describe this one with seriousness and just a little bit of an edge so that you get uncomfortable. And there's a reason why. So this one is be good. Being good is the desire to earn it. I'm going to earn it. I'm going to be good. Because I want that adequacy. I want that purpose. I want that value. I want to be good. And this is the one that we described here, right in the middle, that says that I want that moral virtue, so I'm going to strictly adhere and fulfill every single principle of the religion. I'm going to check the box, be good, follow the law, do all the things, because I have to earn it. Because in order for me to be good, I have to be good enough. Which ultimately says, I don't believe that I am. And so therefore, I'm going to do every single thing that I can to please, to be adequate, to be good enough, to make sure that I can earn my goodness. It's painful. This is a very common worldview, especially for those of us that say that we're Christians, is we understand the good and the bad. We understand that God is good. We understand that we were good in the beginning and that now we're not. And then we decide to take this giant leap and take it into my own hands again, and therefore I'm going to earn it. And I'm going to earn it, and I'm going to do good, and I'm going to be good, and I'm going to follow the rules, and I'm going to do all the stuff because ultimately I'm bad. So what I believe is that I have to be good. It's pressure. It's accomplishment. I have to achieve it. I have to earn it. And I earned it today, but maybe not tomorrow. Am I good enough? I struggle with that. But here's the concept behind being good. I want to tell you a story. It's from Mark 10 to help prove the point a little bit. Mark 10 goes from 17 to 22. It's a story of the rich young ruler. Everybody heard this one before? Anybody? I got to hear one. Yeah, there we go. Good, Bill, yes. The rich young ruler. Here's the story. I'm going to summarize it, okay? There's a gentleman that was good. Okay, and he comes up to Jesus, first of all, and he says, good teacher, right? What must I do to inherit eternal life, basically, to enter the kingdom? And Jesus, first of all, goes, well, why do you call me good? Nobody's good except God, first of all. And then he says, what am I supposed to do? He says, well, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't defraud, honor your mother and your father. And this rich young ruler says, teacher, I have done all of these things. I have checked all the boxes. I have followed all the laws. I've done all the things correctly as you've told me. Jesus looked at him and said, well, there's one thing you lack. Go sell all of your possessions, which were great, give them to the poor, and follow me. And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. So this parable can be very confusing if you don't look at it appropriately. You can choose to see this and say, well, he did a good job. He followed all the rules. He was good. He acted good. He was good. He didn't do all the things that the law said that he was supposed to do. He's good. So why does Jesus say there's one thing you lack? Is it because he really didn't do that last final thing and that he needed to give away all his stuff and that's what you should do too? Is that what he's saying? I don't think so. I think what he's saying is you're missing the point. You're missing the point. The point of understanding who God is and being Christ-like is a relationship with God, not you following the rules. This rich young ruler came to him and basically said, hey, I want to know how to get into heaven and to have eternal life, already knowing that he had marked all the boxes and done all the things right. He already knew that. Do you see that in the story? He already knew that. So he basically went to Jesus and was like, hey, I've done all the things that I'm supposed to do, by the way, but I'm going to ask you anyway, what should I do to get into heaven, good teacher? Right? And right out of the gate, Jesus goes, why do you call me good? You don't get it. You don't get it. Nobody's good but God. You fail instantly, which goes right over the top, right? Because that's not the point. And then he goes, well, I'll humor you. This is my interpretation of Jesus. Here's all the laws that you know that you've already kept, all of them. And he goes, well, I've already done that since I was a wee lad. Since I was a little boy, I've been perfect. I've done all the things right. Jesus is like, you know, that's not it. So Jesus just picked one thing, just one. And I believe that one thing was a desire of that man's heart that was greater than the desire of God. Right? He said, that thing? Yeah, you missed that one. Sorry you don't get in. Right? And I don't know what that thing is for you, but if your goal and your purpose and your desire is to earn it and be good and follow the rules, there's a whole bunch that you're going to fall short on. And if you say, God, I've checked all the boxes, I'm doing all the right things, I'm a good person, but I don't know you, I don't have a relationship with you, I'm not discovering who you are and who I am and how I'm to love and other people, Jesus is going to go, I want you to follow me. And just like this rich young ruler, you get the decision to either say, okay, and follow, or walk away sad. Because your primary goal is not to follow God, but to have things, get better, have prestige, have success, have monetary items, whatever that is. If that's your goal, it's not good. So according to this, who does Jesus say is good? Who? God. Who else? Nobody. Spoiler. Okay? You can't be good enough. So stop trying. You're not good enough. Left to yourself. That was a long pause for effect. Left to your own devices, you trying to be good, following the rules, doing the right thing, checking all the boxes, will not earn you goodness, will not earn you salvation, will not earn you purpose and value and reason and adequacy. It will earn you tiredness and failure and depression and inadequacy. Stop trying to be good. You can't be good enough. You can't earn it, can't fix it, can't do enough good works. It doesn't work that way. If your life's desire is to be good, you will always fall short every single time. The next passage in Romans describes the same thing. I'm just going to summarize it. He says, nobody's declared righteous by God based on what they do. Your works are not good enough. There's always going to be something that you're going to fall short. What is the point that he's trying to make? What is Paul trying to point? What is Jesus trying to say? What is God trying to say? You can't earn it. Trying to just be good is not following Jesus. And I mentioned earlier, if you're a religious type person that says, I earn my value and I'm good because of what I accomplish, this will turn your world upside down, just like the rich young ruler. I hope that you're uneasy if you hear that. Now, does that mean that we don't try and we don't care and let's go be bad and evil? No. That would be an abuse of grace. But choosing to be good is not choosing to follow good. Let's get to the last one because I'm uncomfortable. Okay? The last one is doing good. And this is where it all kind of gets a little muddy, then it's going to get really clear. The last one is choosing to do good. Choosing to do good is allowing God to be good in you. Choosing to do good comes from believing that God has already said you are good. Okay, hold on, time out. I thought you just said that I can't be good, that I can't be good enough, that everybody's fallen short of the glory of God, that the rich young ruler couldn't cut it, that we're all bad. Is that what I said? I hope that's not what you heard. What I said was, if good is something that you earn personally, if good is something that you take on your own shoulders, in your own efforts, in your own ways, aside from God, you can never be good enough. Let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, God said that everything was good. Then our choices and decisions have us fall. And in that state, while we were yet dead in our sin and transgresses, Jesus came and made it right. The goodness of God manifest in Jesus with his death on the cross said, I can restore you to that goodness again. Goodness is not what you can earn, it's what God can declare. I can remember a time in my life where I had made a series of significantly poor decisions, choosing myself over others, choosing myself over my family, over my wife, making terrible decisions that had caused pain in relationship, havoc, all sorts of what I thought would be good because it was pleasure for me in the immediacy that caused pain and suffering later. And I can remember going before God, wrestling through this, going, God, I'm not good. And I can't be good enough. And yet again, another time in my life where there was somebody that loved me enough to be honest with me, that was journeying with me, said one of the most powerful things I've ever heard in my life. It changed my life. I'm sharing this with him. I'm not good enough. I can't forgive myself for the stuff that I've done. I'm making poor decisions. He listened, and here's what he said. You're right. What do you mean? He's like, you're right. I don't understand. He said, if you were good enough and you could fix it on your own, then you wouldn't need Jesus. You wouldn't need the sacrifice that Jesus made. You think that you're good enough and not sinful. You think that you're good enough that you don't need the sacrifice that Christ made for you. Do you think you need him now in light of how you see yourself? I was broken. I actually realized that I need Jesus. I needed the sacrifice to redeem me. I needed the sacrifice to go back to good in God's eyes because of what God did for me, not based on what I could do for myself, not because I could undo all the wrongs that I did, not because I could stack up all the really good duties to make more good than bad, because that effort was futile and it didn't work. And it left me empty and tired and depressed and frustrated to try to outdo my bad with the good. I could not be good. And I was tired of just choosing me to feel good. And it brought me to the point to where I realized that I needed Jesus, that I needed a Savior, that I needed to be set right again based on what God could do for me, not what I could do for him. And so goodness is something that God declared me to be in light of who Jesus is, not based on what I can do. So doing good is a choice. Doing good is choosing to say, I'm going to follow Jesus and love God and love others as he has asked me to do with his help, not perfectly, with the Spirit in my life, not because it feels good, not because I get anything out of it, not because I'm earning it, not because I'm trying to erase the bad things that I did, but because of Jesus, I can choose to do good, which is loving and patient and kind and gentle and good and long-suffering and others first and getting up when you fall down and saying sorry when you're wrong, right? And apologizing when you get offended, not quitting when you get your feelings hurt, but saying, God is so good to me that I want to choose to do good and be good to others on his behalf. Choosing to do good is a choice. Choosing to do good is allowing God to work through us to other people. The cultivation of good in our lives is being a mirror of God to other people. And you know what's great about what God's word is true and when his reality is true? Guess how I feel when I choose to do good to others? You actually feel good. Holy cow. But guess what? Right? It's not a perfect 100% thing. Like we talked about last week, you don't go, okay, because there's some of you out there that are like, I got it figured out. I'm going to pretend that I'm doing okay and I'm going to do good so that I'll feel good. Right? So that's just basically the twisting of the first one that goes, right, I'm going to be kind and good to somebody else so that I feel good about myself. That's you trying to be good again. Doesn't work. When we choose to allow God to work in our life, to recognize that God is good, that his goodness comes through the form of Jesus, that we don't have to earn our goodness, that we are just based on what Jesus has done for us, that we choose goodness to grow, that kind of feels good. And you actually are being good, but those two are not the goal. Doing good is a choice, just like following Jesus is a choice. Goodness comes out of us when God comes out of us. God is good, and we get to choose to be good or not. So we're going to enter into a time, I'm going to kind of land some things here, but we're going to take communion here together in just a minute. And so there's going to be some servers that are going to pop up and pass out some of those elements. I want to cover a couple things here as they're passing them out. First of all, communion is a time for us each week to remember who Jesus is and that sacrifice that we've talked about. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe it's something you need to choose to remember. Maybe it's something that you need to just listen to what the gospel message is and make that decision. But each and every week, we do it prayerfully, mindfully, to try to remember who God is and what he's done for us and where we are this morning. And each and every week, we try to do it at the end of our message so that we can think through what it is that we just heard. And so as they're passing those elements out, I'd ask that you just hold on to them. We'll take them together in just a minute. We'll pray, and then we'll take them together as a family. But they're going to be passing those out here in just a minute. You got two cups. There's a cracker on the bottom, juice on top. Go ahead and hold them. We'll take them together in just a minute. But as they're passing those out, I want to recap and talk a little bit about what I was trying to say this morning, whether you heard it or not. Hopefully that's not my fault. But God is good, and he can do whatever he wants. So we're talking about goodness. And we talked about what good is and what good isn't. And in the beginning, every single one of us was declared good based on how God has made people. He's made you. He's made us. So the desire for goodness is in us. It's by our design. It's how God himself, as we are made in his image, comes out of us. But we know that like in creation, and like in our very own lives, we get a decision, right? You get to make choices. You get to make decisions. And as Adam and Eve made decision in the beginning, you and I have made a decision. Our person, our flesh, our natural bent and inclination is to choose us, to choose sin over God. And so we have a desire to be good. We want to experience good. We want goodness to come out of us, but goodness is not naturally in us. What's good in us is God in us. What's good is what God says is good, not what we say is good. And we talked about a couple different things about maybe our natural tendency to experience goodness. Because we want it, it's in us, but I don't naturally feel it. First way we talked about was, I wanna fulfill that hole in my heart and in my soul and in my chest and in my being that wants to be adequate, that wants to be good enough, that wants to be okay, that wants to be approved of. I wanna feel that myself. And that's by choosing to feel good. That's by doing whatever I want to feel good. That's choosing me over others. That's choosing me over loving God. That's choosing me over sacrificing. That's choosing what I feel good when I want it, how I want it. That's a me first choice. Maybe that's you this morning. Is that you've realized that when you've been longing for what is good, you've decided to take it into your own hands and that you're just gonna choose to feel good yourself rather than being willing to see what God says is good for you. Thanks, my friend. The second one was the lie that you might have to earn it. Is that in that desire to be good, is that I have to be good myself. It's something that I have to do. It's keeping all the rules. It's doing what's right over what's wrong. It's never making a mistake. It's doing enough good things to overcome the bad things. It's earning it. It's believing that if it's got to be good, it's got to be up to me. It's a lie. It's an idea that says that the only way that I'm good is if I make it happen. And you know what? A lot of times that comes from the people that we're around. A lot of times that comes from the culture that we live in. A lot of times that comes from the demands of our jobs, demands of our kids, is that they demand that you're good enough. And we decided that that's impossible. Can never be good enough. Can never make the right decisions long enough, frequently enough. It's impossible. Which should lead you to a place of despair, to be honest. And hopefully, in that spot, you would say that I can't be good enough. I can't earn it. I'm tired of trying. I don't have enough in me. I keep falling short. It doesn't feel good. And in that moment, every single one of us gets to make a decision to say, well, now what? And in that moment, what I believe is true is that God is good. That in his goodness, he has portrayed goodness to you and I by sending Jesus Christ, his one and only son, to die on the cross for that sin, that shortcoming, that bad decision that's hiding around every corner, that's in my past, that's in my story, that's sitting in my seat right now. God knew it, he's seen it, and in his goodness, he says, I can help you find a way out. And I've done it. And I've sent my son to die for that sin. I've sent my son to die for those choices. I've sent my son to restore you to goodness. Will you follow and believe? Don't have to earn it. I know that it was tough. I know those things you did. I can make it right. Will you choose to follow goodness in my son Jesus? And lastly, out of that, we get to choose to do good because of God's goodness for us. Not just when it feels good, not because we are good or good enough, but you are in Jesus' eyes. We can do good because God's good to us.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.